Hello, and welcome to another special sort of bonus episode of the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. After that slightly shambolic opening, welcome back. For those that don't know, this is the podcast that takes a look at what's going on at theatres across East Anglia and irritates the hell out of those involved by asking them vapid questions like, are you excited? But what kind of introduction is that? Hello everyone, my name is Ray Tempesta and I am the host of the podcast, the man without a plan, who usually by accident appears to sound like he knows what he's doing. Am I describing my life or the podcast there? Who knows? Anyway, the way the podcast works is simple, much like your host here, but on this occasion, it's even simpler, as I've recorded and edited another episode at the 11th hour, as I really wanted to get the word out about this rather special company before it was too late. Gosh, that sounds dramatic, doesn't it? The group aren't going anywhere, just to be clear. They've just got a show coming up soon, and I wanted this episode out before they open it. But before we get into the episode proper, I've got to tell you about my social media accounts and the website and all that jazz. Well, of course, I don't have to tell you, but I've heard people on other, more professional-sounding podcasts do it, so I assumed it's the right thing to do. The East Anglian Theatre Podcast has a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and a really rubbish TikTok account. If you can bear it, do give them a like, a follow, a share, or whatever. I'm sure some social media experts would tell you it all helps somehow. You can also find some more of my nonsense on my website, eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, plus the slightly more educated-seeming version of me in my capacity as a reviewer, as I hastily cobble words together that occasionally make sense. You can also use the website to contact me if you'd like me to give your show a shout-out, or if you'd like to feature as a guest. Now, wouldn't that be fun, eh? Don't answer that. Anyway, you'll be relieved to hear I'm not going to bore you with what I've been up to lately, and we're going to go straight into the interview. So, I'd like to introduce you to three teenagers, but don't worry, not the monosyllabic incarnation that you're probably picturing. These are three members of the wonderful Echo Youth Theatre. Their names are Jack, George and Kylara, and they're soon to hit the stage at the Madam Market with their production of the fabulous Little Shop of Horrors. So, without further ado, let's have a chat with them, shall we? Hello to Echo Youth Theatre. Now, there's three of you here. Would you mind just introducing yourselves and your role in the production?
So, my name is Jack Rudd, and I play the dentist.
My name is George Bartlett Archery, and I'm playing Mushnik.
My name is Kylara Pope, and I'm playing Ronette.
Fantastic. Now, there's not long now until the show opens. It's a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are you excited?
Absolutely. I'm so excited. This show is looking absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'd second that one.
Yeah, I am very excited. I'm nervous, but I think that comes with any show.
Yeah, I mean, you've got like, what, a week and a half of rehearsals left?
Like, yeah, a week and a few days, I think.
Not frightening at all.
I'm getting this next Sunday, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Now, I've seen Little Shop of Horrors plenty of times before, and I absolutely love it. But I just sort of assume that everyone of my age has seen it. But, of course, you guys, a lot younger than me. Had you come across Little Shop of Horrors before getting involved in this production?
So Little Shop is actually one of my favourite musicals. I got into theatre because of my mum, and it was the first show she did with youth theatre. So I've known about it since I was very little. A weird show to know about since you were really little. But so when it got announced, I was so excited.
I think I remember you literally just went crazy saying, yes.
I remember I got in the car and I went, Mum, you're just going to have to let me scream for a moment.
I remember when I was younger watching Little Shop of Horrors and I was absolutely petrified of the plant. But it was always a film that I would remember. Like when people would say, oh, have you ever seen Little Shop of Horrors? Is that one about the talking plant? Yeah. And then like Kylara said, when we heard about it, I believe it was during Mermaid or something, like Kylara, I went absolutely crazy because like, no way we're doing it. And, you know, here it is.
Unlike these two, I've never watched it before.
Shameful.
Oh. I mean, you're still young, you know. I probably hadn't, but probably the film was about 20 years old when I was your age. And for those strange folk that haven't come across Little Shop of Horrors before, could you explain the story to the listeners?
So, in brief, it is set on Skid Row. It's in New York, I believe, and follows the life of Seymour, who is a botanist and works at Mushnik's Florist, along with Audrey. And he discovers this plant that has never before been seen, and discovers it has a strange taste for blood and follows down a very morally grey path to success. It really makes you think about what will mankind do to be recognised and successful.
Well, that's about as good an explanation as I've ever heard. So what do you all love about the show?
For me, I think the thing I love most about the show is just the old, like, the vibe, like, the older vibes you get from it. So, like, you get all the kind of vibes of, like, the 60s and, like, the 70s, like, the way that they dress, the music, and the way it's all written as well. And so, like, there's, like, in somewhere that's green, like, you get a snap, like, a flashback to the even further back, and it's just, I love things like that, like, where you get to see more flashbacks to an earlier time.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I like that the songs have so many different genres of music. Yeah. Like, all the songs are so different. It's not like with a lot of musicals, you sit there and you go, oh, this music's really good, but it is a very samey. You don't get that with Little Shop. Every time some more music comes in, you're like, oh, this is completely different. Wasn't expecting this. I think it helps keep you on your toes.
I think as well, because it's such... I believe it came out, like, the original musical came out in, like, the 80s or something.
But it was originally a really short movie.
It was black and white in the 60s, wasn't it? Yeah, because of its historical value as well, and because it has always been, as far as I'm aware, an off-Broadway production, it has a lot of sentimental for people like myself who are literally adore musicals, and it's really, really nice to be able to perform a show like Little Shop of Horrors because, like I say, of the historical value, and also, like these two said, about the music as well. Mm. You have such a great contrast in Little Shop of Horrors because you have moments of comedy, really... you know, fun, loud music, and then you have moments of, you know, sadness. You have moments, I was going to do a Tom Holland then. You've got moments of sadness, you've got moments, you know, that play with all of your emotions, and that's really, really good as an audience member and as someone who is interested in musicals to see that in a show that, like I said, that has such a historical value to it. Mm-hmm. Awesome, absolutely amazing.
And do you have a favourite song?
That is such a loaded question.
I have one, and it's really got my favourite song is Mushlikin's song.
bit egotistical of you. Okay, well. Mine is not one of my own. Mine would not be one of my own. I pretty much love anything the plant sings.
Yeah.
Audrey 2. It's just so soulful, and I love soul music. And I love that it makes you think, oh, I'm really vibing, yeah, go the part, and then you're like, no, I shouldn't be cheering this character on, but I am, because the music is so good.
Yeah.
So those are probably my favourite songs, yeah.
It's really difficult to pick one favourite song, but for comedy value, I think I'd say Mushnikin's Son. But to sort of tell...
Not because of you.
Oh, wow, harsh.
To tell this, I guess, the story of itself, I really like the Meek Shall Inherit, which is a song about Seymour. Once he's got popular, loads of people are offering him, you know, like lecturing tours, contracts and stuff. I think that's such a really good song to, you know, delve deeper into because it has such a meaning to it. And the music as well is incredible.
Yeah, it also, that song's really good at showing the conflict within Seymour and seeing him as a human.
And if you could be any character in the show other than the one you're playing, who would you choose?
Audrey 2. Great character.
I think I know your answer to this one.
Do you know what? When I auditioned for this show, I had certain characters that I wanted to play, and there was one character that I didn't want to play, and that was Mushnik. But I think my mind has changed.
Really?
I think if I could be cast as another character, I'd play Mushnik.
So is that a bit of flattery for George there?
I think it might be.
I'm not understanding why we're flattering George today.
You know, yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, I'll admit, Jack, if it helps, I've got a bit of a soft spot for the dentist.
The dentist is what is known as a princess track. And I think that's amazing. It's great. It's the role that you remember, even though it's really not
also,
in it that much.
The way you play it as well, it's crazy and it's dark, but it's like a really funny kind of dark.
Yeah. Acting next to you is a challenge on stage. I'm like, don't laugh. I'm like, I've given my character such this like stone cold... nothing's going to bother me expression. And then it's like, don't laugh at Jack. Don't do it.
So you've had fun in rehearsals then?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely.
I mean, if you're not, you're doing it wrong. This is definitely the sort of show you should be having a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think because of the cast being so small as well, it's got really, like, homely feel. Yeah. So we're all really close with each other, and I think that helps as well. We found in rehearsals quite a good balance between productivity and enjoying ourselves.
And this is the first time that Echo has put an age sort of limit onto shows, because also Echo are doing School of Rock as well. So this show is 14 and above, and School of Rock is 13
and under.
So it has a
lot more of a professional feel. It makes us, as performers, for some of us wanting to go on to drama schools, we get a feel of what that will be like. It's a different feel, and I think it feels a bit more professional. It makes us feel more professional as performers, so you feel really proud of what you're doing.
It's been different from whatever I've like experienced before with rehearsals, because like I've never had people, I've never had like directors treating us like adults.
Industry professionals.
Please don't big up Chris on here. This is not the place for it.
Chris is an amazing director.
No, Chris is.
We do. Yeah. We love Chris.
Yeah. All of everyone who's been in part of the creative team, Jenny and Asa and Kate, who's doing the costumes and stuff, they're all so amazing. Feels like a great environment.
Right, well, enough about Little Shop of Horrors for the moment, and on to a little bit about you. What got you into performing in the first place?
So my mum has done theatre from a very, well, from when I was at a very young age, and I never really thought into it that much, but when I was like 9, we went to West End to see Wicked, because it was like, kids go free, and mum was like, oh, let's do that, you love Disney movies, I'm sure you'll love it, and she'd already seen it, and the moment, it sounds so cheesy, but the moment I saw Defying Gravity, I was like, that's what I'm doing, that is where I'm going in my life, and that is what I want to do. Before that, I was like, I'll do something with animals, and like a light switch, and ever since, it's not wavered, and I was immediately like, get me into any theatre I can do, anything and everything.
So your cat was dropped straight to the shelter.
I mean, not that far, but you know.
Yeah, so ever since I was younger, I've always been, I believe I've always been quite like a bubbly, creative sort of person, and I've never, until I sort of got into primary school, maybe year 5, year 6, I never really knew much of theatre. I knew about like performing and stuff because my uncle was in like a Bon Jovi tribute band or something, and I was amazed by that. But then I done a production of like, what was it, like Robin Hood or something in year 5, and kind of the same sort of story as Kailara. Ever since I stepped onto the stage, I just thought, you know, this is incredible, this is the sort of thing I want to do. And it's also the first ever adrenaline rush I got when, you know, there was bows, people were clapping after songs and stuff. That feeling is like no other. I thrive off of that feeling. It's such a great feeling. And like ever since then, you know, I've always tried putting myself and being in theatre as much as I could.
Yeah, I think theatre is a good escape from reality. It's a great way to be like, you don't feel judged, because I'm like, if you're judging me, you're judging a character, you're not judging me, because I'm not being myself.
I think for me, I've been singing for about 10 years now, like, and I used to be part of a choir for quite a long time, but I've only been doing theatre for about a year and a half. So my first proper show was Joseph, and like I'd auditioned late, and they said, oh, come on to rehearsals and we'll see what you can do. And about 2 rehearsals later, I was Joseph. I walked away from that thinking, okay, this has gone a lot quicker than I thought it would.
Quite a baptism of fire then.
Yeah. And the same thing is like what Kailara and Jack said, it's like that rush I had when I first did a show, it's addictive, and it's not and it's not just like the rush when you're doing the shows, it's the whole rehearsal process as well. It's like everything, like all the rehearsals, they all add up to the whole experience.
Yeah.
And like you make friends, like I've like these two I probably consider some of my really good friends now, and then
we're pushing it.
Well, yeah, just a little bit. But Jack,
Now, I usually interview people who are a lot older than you guys, have got a long history behind them, but of course, your futures are all in front of you. Is a career in performing arts in your future?
I would love to. I'm now finishing my A-levels, in which I am doing drama and biology, just to, you know, in case I do somehow want to go down the animal route. I'm saying Jurassic Park the musical is not out of the question. love dinosaurs. But yeah, I'm planning on having a gap year and helping out with some Echo shows that when I can no longer be part of the cast, very sadly. And then I'm planning on auditioning for drama schools and studying there and hoping that I can make it onto the stage as a career.
So for about a year, when we done Little Mermaid, I joined as stage crew, and sort of from when I did the stage crew to now, I had a change of heart, really. I started delving more into backstage production arts, which is what I currently study at college. And I have an absolute soft spot and love for acting and theatre. But I believe that, because I am such a creative person, I believe that showing creativity as well as acting, having the skills and set for maybe a few shows, working backstage, lighting designer, sound designer, that sort of thing, I believe I can express my creativity more, as not only limiting myself to, you know, portraying a character on stage, as well as designing a show, which is, I've ever since I started theatre, I've always loved the flashing lights, the loud music. So if I can kind of be involved with the design element of that as well, that's quite kind of going to bring more creative element to it. So that's, I'm still very undecided with what I want to do.
Ugh, it's quite sickeningly mature of you.
Well, for me, I've been studying physics, maths and chemistry A-level for the past year. And only recently have I kind of decided, okay, I'm going to do performing arts. So this year I'm leaving the college I'm at, and I've auditioned to City College so I can study performing musical theatre. And I'm hoping that with enough time I can make that as a career.
So theatre's actually kind of derailed your original career plans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, a year ago, I was sure about what I wanted to do. Then I just, like, Joseph in Little Mermaid here, I was like, well, damn. Okay. This is happening.
Theatre has a rare skill at doing that.
Oh, yeah.
It happens to the best of us.
Oh, yeah.
So we've touched upon the dreams in terms of your careers, but what about dream roles on the stage?
Okay, so Elphaba, because of Wicked being the show that got me into theatre, it has such sentimental value for me. So, and because it was at that moment I went, I want to be exactly there. So if I ever make it to be singing Defying Gravity on the West End stage, I'll be like, yeah, I've made it. But also, I am obsessed with Hadestown, so I'd love to be really just anyone in Hadestown. I'm like, just please, I'll be a chair. Anything.
I guess, Jack, for you, it might not be so much a dream role as more a dream production to be involved in.
I have always loved Les Mis. So anything involved with Les Mis, I would absolutely love to do. I think performance-wise, no doubtably would I want to play Thénardier. He's such a funny character, and I just love literally everyone that I've seen play Thénardier, whether that be on screen or on stage, have just absolutely smashed it. So if I do go into acting, that is what I want to do. But I think as well, I'd love to design Les Mis. I just think my heart's set on Les Mis.
you couldn't tell in the least bit.
No, it's not like I talk about it every day.
Oh, yeah, no. Mine is, I've always wanted to play the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh. Oh, I've never heard this one before from you.
It's not like I sing this. It's not like I sing through the show almost every round.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you think we were performing Phantom, not Little Shop.
I'm surprised that he isn't gonna slip a Phantom song into Little Shop.
Wait, he managed it in Alice.
Oh. I did manage it. I did get away with doing Phantom of the Opera, the main song in Alice, which I don't know how the hell I got away with.
And apart from the guys running Echo Youth Theatre, naturally, who else are your heroes in theatre? You know, people you want to emulate.
I am obsessed with Eva Noble-Zahder. I think everything she does is phenomenal. And Renee Rapp. I think they've both got into theatre so young and have both made massive careers for themselves and are both just phenomenal. So I think, yeah, the way they strive for their careers and made it so young, I think is, yeah, amazing.
The one person who I sort of would class as my hero is Brian D'Arcy James, who was the original actor who played Shrek in the original, like the original cast of Shrek. He played, I can't remember the character's name, but he played something in Something Rotten as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just, from the videos and, you know, the shows that, I haven't seen him in a show, but, you know, the YouTube shows.
What?
We don't know about them. From what I've seen him in, I just think he's an outstanding actor with such an incredible voice, and his acting through song as well just is mind-blowing, really. He's really, really inspirational actor.
It's very difficult for me to say because I don't until like about a year and a half ago, I didn't know much, but I'd say probably Ben Platt.
Yeah.
Because like he came out of like college, like he'd never studied musical theatre before, and like he's made himself like probably one of the most recognised names on the stage now.
For sure.
Yeah. And it's,
you know, I was listening to You Will Be Found literally just before I came to interview you guys.
No, I hope I can kind of emulate that. I want to be able to one day get to that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I can, fingers crossed.
Well, you've got a solid grounding with Echo here.
Definitely.
Sure.
And finally, using less than 10 words, we're running out of time here. Using less than 10 words, why do you think people should come and see Little Shop of Horrors?
Okay. Good music, great cast, fun for all.
Yeah, come on. Let me think. Incredible cast, amazing storyline, and a really awesome puppet.
Probably.
Probably is one.
Yeah. You've just wasted
one. Yeah. Really good cast.
This is recycling my words, yeah, guys. Yeah, be original.
Amazing music and incredible direction.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone had to. Otherwise, Chris would have been mad.
Well, thanks very much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
So there we have it. That was Jack, George and Kailara from Echo Youth Theatre. Now, what did you think of me as your interviewer, Jack?
Outstanding.
Oh, too kind. Now, weren't they a lovely bunch, eh? If you want to catch them in action, they'll be at the Madder Market in Norwich between the 12th and 15th of April, with tickets available via maddermarket.co.uk. Now, before this episode comes to an end, I just wanted to offer you my personal recommendation on this production from Echo Youth Theatre. I recognise that it probably doesn't count for a lot, but this company is absolutely brilliant. I know that youth companies can sometimes struggle to attract audiences outside of friends and families of those involved in the production, but I truly mean it when I say that this is a company that showcases some of the finest talent on offer around here, so they are more than worth a few quid of anyone's money. Having had the privilege of seeing them perform a medley of songs at the Madder Market's fundraising event in March, and then sitting in for a bit of their recent rehearsal, I can tell you hand on heart that this is not just a bunch of kids mucking around on stage with their mates, and I mean it without a hint of condescension, that these young performers can more than hold their own next to any adult company, so please do give them a chance. I'll be going along on opening night to review the show, and I've no doubt of the quality that they're likely to produce, but don't wait to hear what I think, because, let's face it, I'm a douchebag. Just get yourself a ticket and marvel at the next generation of talent in Norfolk, led by the expert guidance of director Chris Brown, assistant director Jenny Newman, musical director Asa Smith, and choreographer Georgia Finch. Anyhow, let's wrap things up. Due to the hastily cobbled together nature of this episode, I'm not featuring mentions of other shows, and nor do I want to. Go and see Little Shop of Horrors, goddammit. Thanks as always for listening. Do spread the message far and wide, and tune in next time for more talking, more inane questions, and more of this idiot. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye!